Yeah, okay, so the UN resolution that Israel proposed, and of course Germany sponsored, because it's the longest standing controlled occupied nation, sort of thing. That UN resolution against whistleblowing in relation to the official Holocaust narrative propaganda is really frustrating to respond to that, of course. It just seems like a total waste of time to state the obvious. But for most of you, the subtleties won't be obvious. And I'm trying to train people to be as sophisticated as the enemy. That's why I don't know, wasting my time on this. But it's so important. But anyway, one thing you have to keep people. So the problem is, Call of Duty's got you everywhere. Yeah, you're all controlled and you don't realize it. And the more I try to get you to wake up that you are controlled through your own subsidiary of the Call of Duty, the more people are alienated and the fewer people I reach. So the better I get at this, the less effective I am at it. What am I doing here? Okay, so. But keep in mind, explain to people, try to, that there is no difference between what the Cult of Judah are doing with the official Holocaust narrative and what the Catholic Church did with the Flat Earth narrative. The Flat Earth narrative, now, please, I'm not interested in discussing the merits of flat or round Earth. I want you to just put all that aside and focus on what, try to understand what I'm saying here. When the, it'll be easier for most people than for the flat earthers. But so it doesn't matter if the flat earth is flat or sphere, okay, that'll stand on its own merits. That's not what we're talking about. What I'm saying is the narratives. If one narrative needs, one narrative at the moment is gaining all the legal protection and it's criminalizing all the counter narratives. That's exactly what happened during the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, when during the Catholic Church's reign of terror. They legally protected the official narrative, which is the Bible, of the earth being flat. And they persecuted and criminalized anybody who challenged that narrative. Challenging the narrative of the Bible and the flat earth, remember, the reason they defended the flat earth narrative isn't because they gave a fuck whether the earth was flat or spherical, but because if somebody managed to prove that this supposed, what's the word? That the Bible is actually wrong about something. Couldn't possibly be the word of God if it's wrong about something, because surely God would know, So the only reason they protected this flat earth narrative wasn't because they cared about, because they were geographers and they were really offended by people being really stupid. The threat was that if you proved that one part of the Bible was wrong, then the rest of the Bible no longer is, can be considered infallible, the infallible word of God, because it was fallible. So this is why the official Holocaust narrative is so important to them. It's just like the flat earth in the Bible. If you take this away from the cult of Judah, from the Jews, then you prove them infallible. Yeah, you demonstrate that they've you've been lied to. And if the official Holocaust narrative is debunked, then people might start saying, well, shit, so the authorities cannot be trusted. The same way the Catholic Church can't be trusted. The official narratives can't be trusted. The Bible's not infallible. Same things. The authorities aren't infallible. The alleged established science is bunk. Yeah, this is why they need to protect the Holocaust narrative, even though they don't need it anymore. Okay, so multi-billion dollar industry for the Jews. Yeah, so it's a good little sideline. But they've got the CO2V cult now, and currently they're running the Ukraine war narrative. And please read, listen to the whole thing and read it. Them talking about nearly 6 million, and not being able to give the names, etc. It's just like recently when that stupid NATO speech celebrating 2 years of the official Ukraine war narrative, when she said, oh, so many people, all the people have died in this war. Can you give us a number? Surely the Ukrainian official authorities would have a number for how many of their brave, courageous soldiers have died over 2 years of fighting Russia. Yeah? Well, the thing is, the numbers will be so low that people will go, what? There's a war going on, but no soldiers are being killed. Sorry for making light of this. Yeah, I do have total respect for the real suffering. But if more people are dying on the roads in your country in car accidents than died in the alleged Ukraine war, people are going to start asking, how come we're sending so much money? Why are we making such a big deal about this? You know, I go into the... I'm the only person that I was aware of who totally exposed this whole narrative as a fraud from the beginning, and the fact that, you know, if Russia had intended on invading Ukraine and taking Kiev, they would have done so. They have all the means to do it. That was never the agenda. The agenda was always to liberate, you know, the Donbass and Lugansk republics, yeah? And when the Ukrainian government was murdering Russians in the Donetsk and Lugansk regions, men, women, and children bombing villages, no, the world didn't listen to that. I was one of the few people who published anything about it. The world wasn't interested in that. That was the true human rights violations and the acts of war by the Ukrainian government on its own people. They could have solved that peacefully. You know, if... Are you going to... Do you think people, Estonians, are going to bother fighting and dying if... I mean, if they're given the choice... To stop Ida Virima from separating from Estonia? I don't think they would. But the government, of course, you know, because centralization of power, that's what it's all about. Everything's about federalization and centralization of power. It's all in my books, all in my videos, 2,000 of them, 6 banned books worldwide, you know, and then just generally 26 books. Okay, so... Yeah, so you've got to keep in mind that what the Cult of Judah is doing now in protecting the official Holocaust narrative and criminalizing the official narrative and claiming it's established science, just like the Vatican said it's established God's truth, it's the gospel, the word, you know, the word of God, it's established science, like, you know, scientific socialism in the Cult of Judah Soviet Union. You have to look at the official war narrative, official Holocaust narrative. Forget about arguing the merits of it. Like, you know, I'm not arguing the merits of flat earth either here. What I'm saying is, look at what I'm talking about. Understand it, the power of the narrative. Why they defend certain narratives and make it a crime to challenge them. That's what this UN resolution is making. It's a crime to challenge the official Holocaust narrative. Just like it was a crime to challenge the Bible. It's so obvious. These are all Cult of Judah enterprises. The Vatican, Catholic Church, Holocaustianity. So you've got to look at it in that light when you talk to people. It's about freedom of speech. I'm going to write another essay just about the one paragraph because it's total weasel wording, neurolinguistic programming, mirroring and leading, pacing and leading. Like the beginning of the Michael Moore films. Yeah, they start talking about how good and essential freedom of expression is, and then saying, you know, therefore we have to censor you. What now? Hang on. A minute ago I was with you. We're talking about how important it is to democracy to have access to all the information and arguments. Yeah, I'm with you. And then suddenly, what now? That's why you're censoring me, to protect my freedom of speech? Hang on. Wait a minute. So I'll make an essay about that. But remember, when you're talking about the Holocaust denial, especially in a country where it's a crime. If you're in America, you can talk about the merits of the cases. In Australia, in Germany, in Estonia, maybe soon Estonia, in most places in the world, you can't argue the merits of the case. Do not. Just remind people, we escaped, we're supposed to be in the age of reason. We escaped the Catholic Church's reign of terror. They did exactly what the Cult of Judah, the Jews are doing now with the official Holocaust narrative, what your government's doing now. They're claiming something is taboo to challenge it. It's a crime to challenge it. That you're a heretic. They're apostate. Yeah, it's a crime to challenge the official narrative, exactly like it was a crime to challenge the Bible, anything in the Bible, including the flat earth. So the flat earth is the equivalent of the Holocaust. Yeah? And especially if you put those two in context, in juxtaposition, unless the person's a flat earther, most likely they're not, but unless the average person you speak to happens to be a flat earther, which they're not going to be, just simply highlighting in juxtaposition flat earth and the official Holocaust narrative, and call it that always, the official Holocaust narrative. Don't use any other words. I'm not like the sovereign citizen people have all these things. This is actually meaningful. It's significant. It's precision in language. The official Holocaust narrative, and when people say, what do you mean? And you say, the official Holocaust narrative. Do you know what the word narrative means? You've heard of the official Holocaust narrative. This is what we're told. This is the official version of what happened in World War II. Yeah? But don't say anything that could be considered Holocaust denial. Just talk about the official Holocaust narrative, yeah? And then juxtapose it to Flat Earth narrative. If people pretend to be stupid and try to trick you into saying something, just don't go for it. Say, well, you know, just keep talking. Go on. If they say, what do you mean official Holocaust narrative? They're trying to trick you into saying something, which is criminal. But you can talk about the official Holocaust narrative, I'm sure, in safety. As of course, somebody will get this video in a court and they say, look, this guy said, using the official Holocaust narrative language is Holocaust denial. Therefore, it's just a code word. Like when they arrested the people in Tallinn and said that free Palestine from the mountains to the sea meant genocide Israel. You know? Anyway, you can't win with these people. But anyway, if you make them see the connection, the juxtaposition, the similarities, the very similitudinism, the very similitudinistic, they're the same thing, yeah? In the same light, if you look at the Flat Earth and the official Holocaust narrative, it's the same thing. The authorities are forcing people to swallow a camel called Flat Earth or the official Holocaust narrative. And it's a crime for people to challenge it. And we saw what happened during how many thousands of people were burned alive at the stake because the Catholic Church wanted to defend its power. And it got its power from the official narrative, from controlling the narrative. And the only reason the Vatican cared about people debunking the Flat Earth narrative was that threatened their whole system. Once people found the Word of God, the Bible, whatever it is, not infallible, then everything can be questioned. Once people realize the official Holocaust narrative is a lie, can be questioned, then people will start questioning everything. So anyway, I hope I've made it really clear, and I'm really fed up doing any of this. But I'm going to write the essay about that really. It's just so provocative. When people say, so important, free speech, it's a lifeblood of democracy and everything. And that's why we're censoring you. That's why we're criminalizing. That's why we're taking away your free speech. You, like I said in my song, they say they took her away to protect her from those who were jealous of her beauty. Yeah, they're taking liberty from you. Yeah, Lady Liberty, they're taking her away, and they're going to hide her somewhere in a maximum security prison to protect her because everyone's jealous of her beauty. It's the same thing with this thing. Yeah, and why nobody's done a cover of that song and recorded it properly. It's just, and you see all these shitty little people on YouTube making shitty little videos, and they have no idea how horrific their actions are. Yeah, I hope these psychologists who pretend to be psychologists and pretend to be psychoanalyzing, you know, all the people like us, you know, I hope one day they get arrested and put in a mental asylum and re-educated to experience what it means to have their reality medicalized, yeah? To abuse psychiatry for the most evil people on the planet, just like in the Soviet Union and just like in Australia with their, read my book about mobbing and victimization and education and victimization. And then look up, if there's anything online now anymore, who knows, look up health questing. It became a verb, to health quest somebody, yeah? It was how they abused psychiatry, the government abused psychiatry to shut up whistleblowers and to deny people justice. And so when those shitty little people on YouTube claim to be psychoanalyzing people and saying, I'm not making a medical diagnosis here, but, you know, all the people who believe the government blah, 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 is, you know, they're all crazy, you know, insane, you know. They're so shitty. I can only hope he's re-educated by reality. That for some reason, something he cherishes as a belief and a right, the government says, no, sorry, that's insanity. You know, and we're gonna help you get over your insanity. And he goes, what do you mean? Not, you know, it's not insanity. I know it's true. Yeah, we'll help you. Don't worry. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. What's wrong with you? Haven't you seen the new quantum math? Jeez, get an education. We'll help you. You know. Anyway, my hand's going numb. But yeah, and for everybody out there, I wrote the thing about tax because I'm an economist, and I just and when I'm researching, I'm looking for places that are free, where there's freedom, and you have to go through all this material before, you know, and they keep and everyone's interested in taxes, so I thought somebody might be interested. But it's just an example of the benefits I provide. If you read my books and watch my videos, you would have learned a lot and saved yourself a lot, before you had to learn the hard way. But it seems that Paraguay's got, and South America have the best German communities and the most freedom, but Paraguay is such a, it's a flat, you know, it's got a lot of water that's going for it. And because nobody is interested in Paraguay, has no strategic importance to anybody at the moment, apart from maybe Paraguay and the Sahara Desert will soon become strategic for their water. Yep. Paraguay is just sitting on top of a huge reservoir of water. The Sahara Desert is sitting on top of a huge reservoir of fresh water, probably the biggest in the world. The Sahara Desert probably has the world's largest supply of water apart from that which is in the glaciers at the moment. You know, Gaddafi was piping it to the people for free, but there's enough water under Sahara, someone said, to turn the Sahara into a rainforest for like hundreds of years. And anyway, that's all of my videos and books too. You know, if you don't read my books and watch my videos, you're missing out on so much. You're not going to get, you may get bits and pieces of it somewhere else, but you're not going to get all of it anywhere else. It's a tragedy, personal tragedy for me and a tragedy for the world that humans are just like what they are. Human nature sort of, it's just, you know, who if anyone programmed humans, this idea of free will, we still can't find it. And the world is representation of our will. You know, it sort of depends on free will somewhere. But whatever you do believe, the idea of a free won't, I think, is there. But it's not a free want, won't. It's an option of a want, won't. I won't do that. The opposite of I will do that. The want, it's not a free, you can, people call talk about free won't, but it's not actually free, that's the thing. There's a cost, and it's the cost which some will say takes away free will, because real free will means there can be no cost for any particular choice that you're totally choosing, just totally arbitrarily based on your own wishes and not taking into consideration cost-benefit analysis. That's real free will. But where there's cost, the will's not free. But this is the thing. Even without free will then, the fact that it will cost you something means that defines your values. Yeah? This video is getting long. I did not plan on saying this, what I'm saying now. And if you got here this far, then you're really going to benefit from this. This is some real wisdom. I don't know where I come from. But if you ask people what their values are, the only way to find that out is to find out what they're prepared to pay for something. Then you know what they really value. People say, I value freedom, I value liberty. What are you willing to pay for it? You know, people say, I value health. Well, what are you willing to sacrifice or do for it? People say, I love my children. Well, what are you willing to do for them? You know, what you really value, you see what people value, it's what they will pay for. People value nice cars, nice houses, nice holidays, good jobs, status, prestige. They value these things. They're willing to pay and sacrifice for these things. You know, the other things they talk about, they don't really value. So the point being, by having a cost imposed on your decision, it really demonstrates your commitment to something, what you really value. If you're willing to sacrifice something to pay a cost for something, it means you really value it. You value it as much as you're willing to pay for it. That's the thing. So in this world, in terms of, this is very complex philosophical stuff, people. In the world as representation of your will, if there's absolutely free will, then there's no cost imposed for any decision. That's the only way it can be free. But it's still possible then to reconcile the world as representation of our will with the costs imposed. and the fact people say, therefore, it's not free will. Because the only way to hone your moral tone, yeah, is in what you're willing to pay and sacrifice for something to demonstrate to yourself a commitment to it, that you really value it. If you really value justice and freedom, then you're willing to sacrifice some comforts and satisfactions that you enjoy now. When you go vegan, you have to sacrifice some things. You're fasting from certain things. When you value freedom and justice, you have to give up your exceptional exclusive entitlements. And this is how you actually become, this is how you ascend. Yeah, this is how you rise up to higher planes of existence. If there was no cost involved, what would it mean to choose justice and freedom? If it's not being tested, your values are not being tested by, in some way. You could, would if you're going to invite people, if you had set up a utopia, would you invite people to come in randomly without testing them first, without knowing what sort of people they are? If you want to live in a village where everyone can leave their door unlocked, are you going to invite people in who are potentially thieves? No, you'd test them, wouldn't you? You'd audit them. You want to observe them in situations where they have the opportunity of stealing and see if they do steal or not. Or if they're willing to sacrifice, yeah, willing to sacrifice the opportunity of just taking something without working for it for the ability to live among people where you can leave your door unlocked. So I really should make another separate video of this, because this is 21 minutes at the end of a video, which is probably not many people are interested in. And the people, see, look, this is what I'm saying. The beginning of this video means that almost nobody will get to the end of the video. The end of the video is very philosophical. The beginning of it is more political. And the people who are interested in the politics, when they got to this bit, they go, oh, what the fuck is he going on about now? You know, because almost everybody out there is a hypocrite. You know, I'm talking about human nature. But this, for people who are unaware, I just made a huge leap in philosophy. Yeah, totally unexpected, unplanned. Yeah, that was a huge leap forward. And also in establishing my credentials as the world's greatest living philosopher. You know, I would love to have met David Hume, especially, of all. And most of the other philosophers, they contributed, of course, to my understandings. And they challenged me and pushed me further. But they missed the point. Because at the end of the day, the point is what I was just talking about then. And then people are not willing. What people really value. If you're going to say, it's not my fault, it's human nature, okay. But then you live with the consequences of your human nature. And you stay in this nature. You stay in this realm. You stay in this level, this plane. If you want to transcend your human nature, this is the test of this plane. What are you willing to pay and sacrifice? Personally, yeah. not sacrifice your children to your ambitions. That's not personal sacrifice. And just dying on a cross isn't a sacrifice. Like in the Monty Python film, that old guy goes, it's a doddle. It's nothing. It's easy. Oh, it's a doddle, you know, being sacrificed. And they're going, no, it's heinous. It's horrible. It's cruel. And the guy's laughing and going, crucifixion. Oh my God. You know, you want to hear about suffering, you know. So dying on the cross when you're 30 after, you know, one bad interaction with people or a few bad interactions, and then having a good death on a cross because they gave you drugs to kill you. The Romans weren't sadists. You know, that is nothing. That is not sacrifice. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was nothing compared to what I've sacrificed. And I would say that to his face, you know. If you measured all the things I've suffered and all the pain I've endured over my 55 years, all the hate crimes I've suffered, yeah, compared to Jesus, Jesus is just someone who had a bad hair day. Yeah. Is that sacrilegious? You know? Yeah, of course it is to you, But I'm being objective. Anyway, the video's too long, and I'm probably going to have to edit this end bit and make it a separate video so I can upload it somewhere else, because it's such a breakthrough in philosophy, in recorded history. What wisdom they had before this cycle of history, before the last cataclysm, I don't know. But for this side of the cataclysm, what I just expressed is a huge leap forward for philosophy. It's a huge, unexpected. Okay, ciao for now.